Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Hey, hey, hey! Getting ready for the new year as we say goodbye to 2014. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great country here on America Tonight. Boy, oh boy, you come back and here we are once again, almost like deja vu, a missing plane, day three, a destroyer out there in the sea trying to join into the search for the missing Air Asia jet that vanished just boom off the radar screen from Indonesia to Singapore over the weekend. You know, somebody said it to me, and I thought they were kidding me. I thought they were saying, wasn't that one of the big stories from last year? And I thought they were asking me what I thought the big stories were. Yeah. And lo and behold, here we go again. An Airbus, no less. An Airbus 320 that carried about 162 people and just disappeared in the middle of seeking permission, asking permission, you know, getting on the two-way, so to speak, as they do it in the sky, to get above some bad clouds. Hey, we got threatening clouds. Sure, you're cleared. Okay, go ahead. Boom. And then that's it. So that we, once again, the scramble for the last known coordinates, probably crashed into the water, probably at the bottom of the sea. That's the belief anyway. But they're looking. They're still looking to see if they can find any wreckage, any flotsam, anything related to this plane. They spotted a couple of oil patches, some floating objects, and a couple of locations. But we go back to the same thing. There's lots of flotsam out there in the water. And they don't know if it's related to the plane that vanished halfway into what would have been a two-hour flight, a zippity-doo-dah-nothing, from Indonesia to Singapore. It's a very busy shipping lane, too. I was looking at it on a map today because somebody was explaining that to me. So they just assume it's got, I mean, this has got to be a grim fate. Has got to be, it had to have crashed. But yet nobody sees any sight of, you know, anything. Of course, the water's deep. We go back to that whole thing again about the plane goes down, then where is it? The last communication, it was just that request to one of the pilots to climb from 32,000 feet to 38,000 feet because of the weather. And there were other planes that they were responding to. So they didn't immediately, you know, go back to them. Didn't do it. On, you know, there it was on the radar 4 minutes after the final communication, and then it was gone. But you think about this, a storm in the era we live in now with these planes bringing down with the aircraft that we have in the sky now, it should withstand any kind of a severe weather test, most likely, right? But was it a pilot error? Was it a mechanical failure? You know, mixed with the weather? Could have happened that way. I mean, the pilots rely on their weather radar systems, and you got that dashboard that you've where it shows you the storms and the clouds, reports from other crews, all that kind of stuff as to what's going to happen. And you got 30 ships, 15 planes, 7 choppers, all looking for this jet. So far, nothing. And does this not sound familiar? They're widening the search area. 4 military helicopters looking all over the place. Nothing. No sight of anything. And, of course, families are panicked. It's all over the tube there. Then it's a question of the passenger list and who's on the list. And we still have the unexplained disappearance of the Malaysia Air Flight 370 back in March, which is why I thought my conversation was about that initially. Because for 2 seconds, I was unplugged. Crazy. All the passengers, for the most part, and the crew are Indonesia. And they frequently, it's not unusual, of course, just a couple hours away, visit Singapore, especially on a holiday. Oh, awful. We'll see if this flight, at least they can recover it, know what happened. Because right now, it's still a mystery. So that's two planes. I think there's a better chance they'll find this one. I think there's a better chance. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. By the way, this happened. We knew this heading into the holiday. We talked about it with our pals from Talk Radio News in Washington, D.C. In fact, he was a guest on the show a couple of times. Congressman Michael Grimm in the more conservative district in Staten Island was reelected, even though he was facing these tax evasion charges, has now decided to resign after admitting to tax evasion. He owned a restaurant and wasn't paying taxes that he owed. He had been accused of hiding about $1 million in sales and wages when he was running this health food restaurant. So he could get 3 years in prison. His sentencing is June 8th. In the meantime, I think there was a lot of pressure on him because this was a third term that he was reelected to in the 13th district in New York in November. So I think he was pressured to get out. Have to leave now. We got to figure out how we're going to dance around this, right? And he was very, very popular. And the indictment against him say that the tax fraud started in 2007. This was after he retired from the FBI. He started investing in a Manhattan restaurant, and there he has been accused of underreporting about $1 million, $1 million to evade the payroll, you know, basically income, sales tax, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And get this, in part by paying immigrant workers, some of them in the country illegally, they say, in cash. He was keeping the money off the books to pay them. So looking pretty grim for Grimm at this point, not a shock that he resigned. Because I'm sure that common sense prevailed and enough people got to him and said, yeah, we're not going to just let this roll. This is not going to happen. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, as we continue to look back at some of the incredible guests we had this year, Ryan Hawke, if you remember him, he came on and was talking about millennials and how to win elections with millennials. What is it that they're looking for in candidates? What appeals to them? Very important, perhaps, in 2016 and really for future elections because, obviously, millennials age. Where do they go? Are they independents? Are they looking for something different? Are they swaying toward Republicans or the Democratic side of things? Where does it all end up? And a lot of this with millennials has to do with social media and the use of social media, which is one of the reasons why Barack Obama, the first time around in 2008, had such a good turnout among young people and went to a lot of college campuses because of Twitter, because of social media, how the word was gotten out, and it really spread like wildfire. But then there's that argument about who votes. Isn't it really a lot of the older people that vote versus the younger people? But I would say to that argument, those younger people are eventually, you hope anyway, they're eventually going to regularly vote at some point in their lives. So we take a look back at that interview with Ryan Hawke. That's at the end of the hour. Coming up next, Odds and Ends here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure ancient defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Right before we enter a new year, to announce that, yep, here on America Tonight, we picked up another affiliate, KLOE, 7:30 a.m. in Goodlin, Kansas. Woohoo! Yeah. Thanks a lot, Will. Nice people there. Let me tell you, and you know what's wild about Goodlin, Kansas? I'm totally serious. You can look this up. There is a giant Van Gogh on display. I mean, it's giant in Goodlin. It was one of the coolest pictures I've seen of the sunflowers. Somebody took me one time to a Van Gogh deal, and you know, some of his paintings, you've seen them, you know them, you look at them. And the sunflowers are huge. That's what you remember. So, I mean, there it is. Boom. Right there in Goodland. It is the coolest thing. I want you all at some point in the day to just go to Wikipedia or Google or whatever, and you'll see it. I think it really rocks. I think I want to go and see it. It's funny because I know I've been through Goodland because I used to live in Nebraska, and I covered every inch of Kansas. I had so many friends from Kansas, and I was all over Kansas. But if you look at Goodland on a map, it's about 170 some miles outside. I guess it's about 176 miles or so. Yeah, I could always argue with the mileage thing, outside of Denver. How about that? Very, very cool. Very cool. And plus the fact that, like I said, you know, every place has a landmark or has something that you remember, and that's a pretty wild landmark, I have to say. And there were a few people of note from Goodland, and I remember on previous shows that I've done, I had a producer who was from Nebraska, and we would talk about Nebraska, and I had Tom Osborne, who was at that time the longtime coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and Brooke Behringer, a football player who was a football player for the University of Nebraska, came from Goodland, Texas. Sadly, tragically, he was just 22 years old when he died in a plane crash, and he was the backup to Tommy Frazier. And of course, you always knew a lot of the Nebraska players because, especially in that era, they were talked about a lot. A lot of the, you know, Nebraska always seemed to be in contention, and he was a name that of note that you heard about. And he was known for replacing Frazier in the 94 season and playing pretty darn well too. And I remember this because I remember actually being there. Well, you went to the Orange Bowl, right? And they played a national championship game against the University of Miami. So anyway, there's a little fun factoid for you. Goodland, Kansas. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. KLOE. All right, odds and ends. You see, that fits nicely into that. Talking about landmarks. I guarantee everybody listening to me, think about this. In fact, this would be kind of cool. Send me your landmarks. Whatever it is, from whatever town, city, suburb, whatever it is, wherever you're from, send me what the landmark is. And the coolest landmark, whoever sends me the coolest landmark, I will send you a copy of my book, Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS. Seriously. We'll do it. Some other cool things of note. We mentioned the tragedy of this plane missing. I mean, just in disbelief that we have another plane that's gone. But other things to mention that I think are pretty cool, because you know how I'm a geek for all this space stuff. And we have Rod Pyle on a lot. He's Mr. Discovery Channel, super cool space dude who knows everything. He's like a heartbeat away from Elon Musk almost, right? Whatever's going on at NASA. So they're talking about what they're working on. The NASA Jet Propulsion Lab has designed this robot called... And when I first got the note on this, I was like, what? It's called RoboSimian, and it's got four limbs, seven cameras, and it is very cool. It looks like something from a movie set. But this sort of, they're calling it the future. This robot, they say, can move like a human. It can stand up on two legs. It can use a pair of arms to grab and move things. Because they're trying to work on different kinds of robots for disaster response. And this kind of robot, they say, sort of saunters like an ape, sort of. So if there's rough terrain, there's rubble, there's things they have to manipulate, whatever they have to do, this thing can do it. And it's funny because it was the final entry into this challenge they had. They had a 27-month long competition with some of the top robotic people in the world to come up with an emergency response bot, basically. So if we had a nuclear disaster or whatever it is, where they could go into these dangerous areas where you couldn't have human rescue workers and they could execute whatever the task was. If they had to lift debris off a survivor, can you imagine? So there's no human coming after you. There's this robot thing that's coming after you, just like you see, like I said, on the sci-fi channel or futuristic movies. I think the whole robotics industry is really wild, and what to put your mind to work your mind that way and to piece some of these things together. So the robot, this is the thing, there's an obstacle course, and there's other competition with other robotics
that have been created to rescue people, that kind of stuff. And what they have, what has to happen here to win this whole thing, you have to go through an obstacle course that simulates a couple of different scenarios. So what are the scenarios? Drive a car, use a tool, climb stairs. Didn't we see that in that Sandra Bullock movie, Gravity? What else? Do whatever humans can do, basically. Move any kind of concrete, rubble, you know, whatever. And so here's the thing. They say that the competitors should be as competent as a two-year-old child. So they also want that simplicity thing there. But whoever wins, I mean, it's pretty decent money. $2 million. $2 million. And what's cool about this RoboSimian thing is they had extra parts left over. Okay, we have extra parts. What are we going to do with them? And they came up with a more traditional robot, I guess, that has a head, two arms, can manipulate things, and they're calling it the surrogate. This is wild. It could be like, it really could be an episode of something on the Sci-Fi Channel, but that's what's so wild about robotics. I mean, there's something, this is something I would never like to attempt because I would be terrible at it, but it's something that completely fascinates me. And you really have to have that brain, kind of that engineering brain, to be able to work these problems over again and again and manipulate the measurements and figure out, you know, how are you going to simulate the kind of conditions you would be in. And maybe the simulation part would be the easiest part. But I think the actual maneuvering, putting all the parts together and figuring it out would be the really tough part. Would be where you need that big brain person to lead the crew, and then everybody else has to chip in after that. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, we just scratched the surface. I'll tell you what's unfortunately happened. There's a big worry across the country, and sadly, I don't get it. I've said this before. I have a couple of people in my family who are police officers, but now we've got reports of officers being shot at in Los Angeles and in Florida. So can cops be shot at? Yes. But is it an intentional thing? Is this something that is piggybacking off of, sadly and tragically, what happened in New York? Boy, let's hope this is not some kind of crazy trend that is spreading like wildfire across the United States. There's big, big concern about that. I'll fill in the blanks there, and we'll talk about a few other things, too, as well. Hey, if you want to throw in your 2 cents, you want to talk about Landmark? Are you just dying to jump on the air and tell me your local Landmark? Can you compete with Goodland, Texas, with the Van Gogh sunflowers? I bet you can't. 855-266-5283.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year K-Slot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year K-Slot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Man Cow for you. Hear him here. GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait.
No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
I believe the latest on the Sony hack. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Remember the whole thing about North Korea and they're hacking into us and the movie The Interview and not being being afraid to show it for fear of what was going to happen at some of these theaters, which, of course, now it went online and people were able to get it online and like 15 million in 4 days online just from people streaming the movie. And there were some movie theaters as well, some independent movie theater owners who played The Interview the last couple of days, and they're reporting that people are going to see it. Now it turns out has nothing to do with the North Koreans. That in a second, but I was talking about, is this something that we're seeing now with opening fire on cops in the line of duty? I mean, can they be fired at? Like I said, somebody's running and they don't want to be apprehended, and of course. But it used to be, and you could talk to any police officer who was on the beat, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it was still something you didn't want to do. So you're a career criminal. I mean, even the mafia, if they couldn't bribe and they weren't trying to kill them, that's for sure. You didn't want to be a cop killer. It was, you're not going to be a cop killer. In fact, our pal from New Jersey, from Camden, who knows all about being on the beat cop, says that there are 150 cops since 2014 killed in the line of duty. Well, in Los Angeles, I'm mentioning this story, two men
opened fire on a police car just patrolling a pretty tough part of L.A. The officers weren't injured. One was able to shoot back. One suspect was arrested later, and the other one was on the loose. And now, just like in other places, there is some tension over attacks on cops. After the two grand juries didn't indict the officers in the killing of, you know, of an unarmed black man in Ferguson, Missouri, as you know, Michael Brown, and then the other one having to do with Eric Garner in New York and the whole "I can't breathe," that he couldn't breathe and he was in a chokehold, that deal, and he, you know, the grand jury didn't indict him. And so this goes all the way back to those two different occurrences. At least that's what it seems to be. Now, the cops in L.A. are saying they haven't determined a motive for the Sunday night shooting in South Los Angeles. And it is plagued by massive gang violence. And there are no indications, they're saying, even though a lot of people are saying this, that, hey, don't automatically assume it is connected to what's been happening in other places. We're not calling it that at this point. They were driving on the street. Somebody struck out, tried to kill the two cops, though. So they're looking into this from all different angles. Was it an ambush? It certainly sounds that way with the loose details that I have on that. And we'll see what falls out. Boy, isn't that crazy. And they were responding to just an unrelated call. They were just driving slowly, patrolling in the neighborhood. And then all of a sudden, there's two guys on a sidewalk. There was a flash of a rifle being fired. And then that's it. As I said, you know, you're to chase some really good people out of the profession. And when you have a problem, who are you calling? Where are you going when you have some kind of a problem? So you got to think about that. And it's scary sad, I think. It's so bad in New York that the mayor of New York, who was heavily criticized for being the one who whipped up some of the excitement over police officers and their relationships in urban areas with the people in those areas, that de Blasio, the mayor, that's him, he was going to meet with NYPD unions because of the really volatile relations that have exploded. And he was addressing a new class of new officers, and there was catcalls, and people were booing. And it was nasty and something that you hardly ever see. I'll tell you, even with Bloomie, you never saw that with Bloomberg. You certainly didn't see that with Giuliani. You could go down the list. And there have been cantankerous relationships between mayors, especially in a city like New York, and police departments. But Mayor Bill de Blasio is really on shaky ground with the police. So now he's going to meet with the... On Tuesday, he's meeting with leaders of the unions, police unions, because they're blaming him for what the climate is like there. And he had some, it's like I said, it's very rare that you would get catcalls and boos, because this was a police graduation ceremony. So no matter what the politics of the day were, you would never have that. But now the patrolmen are so sick of it, they're not, you know, you can't tell them what to do in a giant crowd. And so these new police officers were pretty stoic. There's over 800 of them. It's a giant venue. And they were in their seats. And when he was introduced, that was it. You could hear some booing, some heckling, all that kind of stuff going on. And it's ironic, too, because he's saying it takes a special kind of person. This was part of his speech. It takes a special kind of person to put their lives on the line for others, to stare down the danger, because that's what you do. You will stare down the danger. You will keep the peace. And then he says, you know, you confront all the problems that plague our society, problems you didn't create. And then somebody screamed out from the crowd. I mean, yelled it out. You did. And then there was some applause and some more heckling. And so it wasn't a good day for the mayor, that's for sure. He has a lot of building to do as far as his relationship, I think, with the police
in New York. All right, I said the Sony hack wasn't North Korea. You know, there was always a rumor about that, that no, this is somebody who's disgruntled in Sony. It's not really North Korea, even if there are people in Korea that are reporting that. And the FBI investigating the hack said that, you know, because they got information from a security firm, and they're saying the research is pointing to laid off Sony staff, not North Korea, as the big hackers who just dumped out all the emails, all that kind of stuff. So another crazy who did it blame game, and in the end, it turns out to be perhaps, they haven't for sure nailed that, but it looks this way, that it's somebody who has an axe to grind with a company. I mean, you know, and you release the details of the investigation. Then you have the president. Think of this, though. You have the president blaming the regime, right, in North Korea. And there were a lot of people that were saying, you know, it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't make sense. And now it's pointing to a band of people who were unhappy. Wow. But, you know, the FBI made the announcement so ridiculously quick right after the hack was unveiled that in the cyber intelligence, people were saying, wow, that's kind of quick to do that. I mean, how have they nailed this so quickly? So, I mean, the FBI is saying they're standing behind their assessment. They say the evidence doesn't support any other explanation. They concluded that the government of North Korea is responsible for the destruction of the data on the network of Sony Pictures. And they say that's based on all the intelligence they gathered, and not just from, you know, from DHS, from foreign partners, from other private sector folks, all that kind of stuff. But that's not what this other analysis is saying. It's saying the opposite. It's saying, no, these are people who were tossed out. So what do you think? It sounds like a hack job all the way around on the story in general. North Korea? Or some 20-somethings who weren't happy when they were bounced, so they knew what to do and decided to get even. How crazy. Maybe we won't know for sure. We'll just have two different theories probably floating around. Wow. That's nutty. And you might have over the holiday, and I hope this hasn't happened to you, but I've talked to many people, and I was battling a pretty bad cold, and I thought, oh no, I hope I don't get the flu, because so many people are coming down with the flu. The CDC says the U.S. has hit the flu epidemic threshold nationwide, and that there are 122 cities where people have died from pneumonia and the flu, and it surpassed what the baseline is. So that's not good. The epidemic, what they call it, the epidemic threshold of 6.8%. And the number of states that are saying, and you might be from one of these states, that are reporting high flu activity has increased from 13 to 22. One of those states are, and I know a lot of you are listening to us in this state, Illinois. They've got high flu. A lot of people coming in to emergency rooms and their doctors and all that kind of stuff with flu-like symptoms and ultimately the flu. And what do you do for the flu? I mean, you know, you can get better, feel better, and then you're out there again in the thick of it, and you could catch it another time. It could happen again. It's the worst. I mean, the flu is the worst. So hard to shake. And you feel so weak, and I mean, you are out. You are down for the count. It's just a question of how long are you out, and how do you roll back? And you just hope you don't come across in a weakened state somebody else who has the flu, and then you end up doing it part two, having to go through it twice. Oof, bad stuff. All right, politics as usual. Of course, on this show,
emphasis on politics of all sorts, all kinds of conversations about what the buzz is in your backyard and my backyard. A lot of that had to do with Obamacare, immigration this year, disgruntled, unhappy with the people representing us. How do the millennials think? Brian Houck got some pretty good notoriety for some things that he's written. He joins us next to talk about that. Was one of our fun interviews that we did from 2014 as we look back. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Sam Nussbaum, WellPoint's Chief Medical Officer. We proudly support the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together to provide children with a healthier start in life. Visit marchofdimes.org.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Question, can the millennials save America? You think of the future and you think of, you know, really where are we headed and how many have called in and how often have we talked about this? So the question is, Ryan Houck, who's the author of Will America Fail, joins us now. He's in our virtual green room. And is there the case for hope? That's the other part of that. So, Ryan, thanks for popping on with us.
Good to be with you, Kay.
When we talk about millennials and we talk about being disillusioned, to me, it turns out, and I know you talk about this too, that the millennials expect payoffs. So when they hear people say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, like Obama when he was running the first time around, they expect that those things are going to happen. And maybe we start with Obama the first time around when he was running for the, 2008. Did that start the disenchantment of millennials who were all pumped up originally?
Yeah, I think that's the crux of it right there. 2008, millennials voted for Barack Obama. And in 2012, I think they voted against Mitt Romney. And the reality is that for millennials now, the signature political experience of their life is the promises of candidate Obama and the failures of President Obama. And these promises and these failures have real political consequences. I call it winners win and losers lose. Barack Obama as a president has been a loser. And Ronald Reagan created conservatives, but Jimmy Carter did too, because historically bad presidents create coalitions for the opposing party. And that's what we're starting to see now, is that millennials have gone from a solid Democrat constituency to now being up for grabs. Half of them now call themselves independents. That's an unprecedented figure. And that's something of a political protest vote. I think if we can find out how to talk to this generation, conservatives have a shot with them.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because the fact, if you are, Rens Priebus, for example, you have to feel pretty good about the fact that you have a chance at least in throwing the net out. And as you said, there's a lot are saying that they're independent, and that's a big chunky number. What do you think it is that conservatives need to do to reel them in?
I think the key, and I'm probably not the first person to say this, but the evidence increasingly bears it out, is that we got to talk to them about economic issues, and we got to focus our economic case on personal freedom. This is a generation that designs its own sneakers, flavors its own soda, builds its own playlist. They've been raised and inculcated in this notion of personal freedom. And our case on social issues is going to be much tougher with them. But if we present ourselves authentically and truly as the party of personal freedom, and I think we are, we're going to be able to talk to them. The problem in 2012 is what I call the idiot issue. The idiot issue is the thing that everybody knows about, even if they don't know anything about politics. And last cycle, it was same-sex marriage. Every millennial, even if he knew nothing else, had an opinion on same-sex marriage, and it became the very basis for how many of these millennials self-identified politically. And I think as a result, many of them called themselves liberals based on their social views. And we start to see that when we dig deeper into the data, is that they have some startlingly conservative views on economic matters. And what we need to do as conservatives is figure out how to make those issues become ascendant in elections as opposed to the social issues.
Yeah, so maybe almost try to just zero in on that instead of broadening it out too much, which is always a problem, you know that, where you get it. Once you get deep into same-sex marriage especially, I call it the third rail. It is the third rail. You said it so well. And it's a different point of view from millennials. So it really is getting inside the head of the younger generation, because let's face it, for the conservative movement to continue and thrive, you do have to have fresh blood, don't you?
Oh, I think that's true. And on the issue of gay marriage, I'll be honest with you, I've wrestled with it myself. I don't think that anyone should put their politics ahead of their principles, but here's what we should do. We should ask ourselves if our view of limited government and personal freedom is consistent with our position on same-sex marriage. Until we have a compelling answer to that question, don't expect millennials to believe that we stand for personal freedom, regardless of how much we say it. The good news is, though, you look at 2008, you got about 7 out of 10 millennials saying government should do more to solve big problems. Today, only about 3 in 10 say it should take an active role. 2-1, millennials say federal government's hurting rather than helping the economy. 3-1, they say the federal government should cut taxes. Only 11% support more federal spending. The numbers are trending in our generation. We've just got to activate and animate those issues rather than allowing social issues to become the club that the left beats us with every cycle.
Yeah. Hey, when you pumped out on YouTube, it was huge. If I Wanted America to Fail, I mean, you had like almost 3 million viewers on YouTube, just on YouTube. Did you realize that you had really struck a nerve?
Yeah, you know, the thing that was most commonly said was, you said something I've been feeling but couldn't quite express. And I think that's what makes videos like that successful. We based our 2012 video, If I Wanted America to Fail, on Paul Harvey's If I Were the Devil, which was a wonderful essay that he did in the 60s, and then I think brushed up again a couple decades later. But partly as a result of that, I'm better known for my pessimism than my optimism, and a lot of conservatives, I mean, I don't know about UK, but a lot of conservatives thought Barack Obama's reelection sealed our fate. And I was one of them. But I was consumed by the question, why did my generation, the generation most demonstrably harmed by this president, send into the White House twice? And that question led to others like, is this China's century? Is the revolution of our founders now obsolete? And then ultimately, will America fail, which became the title of the book.
Yeah. If the Republicans, I'll say, Republicans slash the conservative side, if they lose the millennials this time around, especially in the presidential race, because now we're talking, you know, you got midterms coming up, and then you have the presidential stuff 2016, but you and I know that's already, you know, there's already movement in the ocean out there. Does that mean we're going to keep going down the path of electing a lot of Democrats? I mean, that to me, that's pretty scary, because another president that is a two-termer, and then we'd go into another Democrat.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I don't know exactly what's going to happen in 2014 or 2016. My book takes a two-decade-long view of this. So I believe that by the time we're looking at the 2030s, that a lot of positive indicators, not only political, but social, cultural, and economic, will begin to favor the right. The long-term trend that we ought to watch as conservatives is millennials increasingly becoming a toss-up generation at the same time that boomers, who have grown reliably conservative later in life, enter what's called their peak voting years, which will be between 60 and 80 years old. And that could create potentially something of a turnabout in national elections. As long as conservatives can actively make a play for millennials by speaking this language of personal freedom, I think there's a real opportunity between boomers and millennials becoming more of a toss-up generation to turn things around at the national level. What folks should look at is the fact that younger millennials, those who don't remember George W. Bush, but really remember Barack Obama, he's the president that they grew up with, they're more likely to be conservative than older millennials, about 40% of them. They're even more likely to call themselves Republican than the general population. So I think there's some positive signs for us long term.
Yeah. You know, talking about you really becoming a big hit on YouTube, et cetera, that's part of the deal. You've got to understand the tools for the millennials, right, and how to reach them.
I think that's true. And, you know, we talk about it a lot, but it's truly hard to underestimate the importance of technology. Every generation uses it. Millennials are the first to wrap their lives in it. It's a cultural artifact for them. It's something that they've used since they were little. Their parents invented computers, personal computers, and put them in their homes, and so they've grown up with them. And so we're the first generation that's truly accustomed to using this technology at all times of the day. And that means a lot of different things. It means we're getting a lot of news from alternative sources. Already, the most vibrant debates are taking place not on the three major networks. They're taking place on radio and on cable and online. And that trend, that type of media fragmentation, is going to continue. And I think probably positively for conservatives. The left has controlled these institutions only because they could be controlled, historically speaking. But in the future, it's not going to be possible to control major sources of news and entertainment and even education, because they're going to fragment thanks to technology.
Yeah. Wow, good stuff. All right, we'll be watching Will America Fail. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on the show. Pick it up at Amazon and feel better.
Thanks, Kate. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Don't Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.